Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, I hope you've had a good week this week, and I hope you are looking forward to the weekend. I have to pre-record this, so I don't know how the stock market ended up this week. I know that as I'm recording this show, there's been a lot of, correction. The stock market has taken a bad tumble the beginning of the week. And a lot of people are saying, no, this is good, actually. It's just a much needed correction. And other folks are speculating as to the reason. A lot of the reason being given is the coronavirus. And frankly, I don't know. I do know this. I'm not worried. I'm in my mid-60s. I would like to be able to retire someday. And I just know that God is the one who's my provider. And I'm not going to worry about what happens on Wall Street. And I'm not going to worry about my health. This is supposed to be a year when I would take a sabbatical. But because my wife has had some health issues over Christmas and the start of the year, and because one of our houses here has been without house parents, and so my wife and I have been having some of the girls stay up at our house on the weekends, the consequence has been that my sabbatical has been postponed in a sense. I haven't got a new start date, but now I'm really glad that my wife and I are not off on a cruise somewhere quarantined because of the coronavirus. That wouldn't exactly be a nice way to spend my sabbatical. There have been, as you know, people in really difficult circumstances. We have a bunch of friends who serve in parts of the world that are being more severely impacted by this. Number of friends in China, both Americans and Chinese friends. And the coronavirus is obviously a scary thing because they don't know how to treat it. They don't understand fully how it spreads. They don't understand how to stop it. People apparently are able to share it with others before they are symptomatic. And for a guy like me who's a germaphobe, that's just kind of the worst case scenario because it's one thing if I have to be careful around people who are coughing and wheezing, but it's another thing if somebody might seem completely healthy and shake my hand, give me a hug, whatever, and I might get something from them. Now, I'll tell you this, folks. It's just being sick I don't like. Dying is okay with me. If I could go ahead and go to heaven this afternoon, that would be fine. That would be perfectly fine. I look forward to seeing Jesus. And yet, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be feeling like I was back during the Christmas holiday when I had the flu. And it was really miserable. And then I think of other people, friends of mine, who have illnesses far worse than the flu, whose pain is much more intense than anything I experienced with that recent illness. And so what I'm wanting to talk with us about this evening is just kind of gaining a biblical perspective on the coronavirus and financial reversals and the kinds of things that we experience as a part of life on this planet. It's not something that goes against what God promised. It is, in fact, exactly what God promised. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but don't be afraid. Be of good courage. I've already overcome the world. When we were talking about it, my wife and my oldest son and I were talking about it over lunch today. And Paul said, well, I think I read something somewhere about some bowls being poured out on the earth and a lot of people dying. Of course, he was being facetious. We knew he was referring to Revelation, and he knew exactly where he read it. But I went back and I looked at some of that. The trumpets in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. A third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. And as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." And then over in Revelation 16, the bowls that my son was referring to, this is after the seven angels with seven plagues in chapter 15. In chapter 16, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth.' The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, 'You are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged, for they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve.' And I heard the altar respond, 'Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments.' The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done." Folks, that is a picture of what will happen one day. But it has always been that people are reluctant to repent even when God's wrath is being poured out. I've been reading in the book of Numbers, and it's just amazing how even when God displayed his power and the people knew it was God, they didn't want to repent. And so painful, deadly judgment ensued. And still, people didn't want to repent. In Numbers chapter 25, while Israel was staying in Shittim, The men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods, so Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of these people, kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to Israel's judges, "Each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor." Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. 24,000. Now think about that. We're in a situation with the coronavirus where just a fraction of that has died so far. I'm not suggesting the coronavirus is no big thing. What I'm suggesting is, and I'm not saying that the coronavirus is God's wrath being poured out. What I'm saying is it's very hard for us to get a sane perspective. We lament the loss of a single life, and yet people die every day. All of us are going to face death. There is no other way off the planet. Every single person is going to have to deal with death and then face God. And so what is vitally important is being prepared to die so that you can really live. Apart from the grace of God, we would not only die physically, we would spend forever in hell. That's what we've earned. The wages of sin is death. And it's not just a physical death. It's being cut off from God forever. Eternal torment because we have offended the eternal God. And yet, God is not a vengeful, capricious being. He is a compassionate God who loved us so much that he became one of us. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and he went to the cross on our behalf so that the wrath we deserved would fall on him. He took our punishment, and we can be forgiven and have eternal life. If we got what we deserve, there'd be no hope. But because of Jesus suffering in our place, we can have life with him forever. Now, do I therefore go out in a cavalier way and just try and find some sick people so that I can go and shake hands? As somebody said, you know, they were being offered opportunity to support a political candidate that they didn't like, and they said, I'd rather lick door handles in China right now. I'm not suggesting that sort of attitude. I'm not suggesting that we go out in search of an opportunity to do ourselves harm. What I am saying is that God invites us to live for him. He calls us to trust him, and therefore we can live fearlessly. If my wife and I feel led of God to go somewhere while the coronavirus is still raging, we're going to go where the Lord tells us to go. But I'll tell you this, when I'm stuck up on the side of the mountain here in East Tennessee, I'm not lamenting the fact that I'm not able to be on a cruise somewhere. I am rejoicing in the fact that God knows best, and he kept me where he wanted me to be. And my wife, she is a courageous lady, but I'm very glad that I'm able as her husband to say, "Honey, let's just stay home for a bit. Let's stay here and enjoy the beauty of East Tennessee. As you listen to this message tonight, I don't know the circumstances you're facing. I don't know what kind of diagnosis you or a loved one may have gotten from a doctor. I do know this. God knows, and God cares for you. And whatever you're facing, you can face it unafraid, knowing that the Lord is working out His good plan for those who trust in Him. If you are fearful because of a health problem, I would invite you to go to the Lord in prayer. Tell Him how you're feeling. Tell Him about your fears. He already knows what you're going through, but you need to know that you can talk with Him and that He listens and that He cares. And I'll tell you this, if you're worried about finances, if you've lost a bunch of money in the stock market, or if by the time this plays, the stock market has rebounded and we're up over 30,000 on the Dow, it really doesn't matter. You can't take it with you. And God knows what you need, and if He needs to send ravens to feed you twice a day, He can do that. God will do whatever it takes to provide for those who are walking in obedience to Him. You can count on this. If God commands something, God will provide the means to do it. Whenever He guides, He provides. He'll make sure that you have what you need to do His will. That's the promise of His word. That's not just the saying of an old guy here in Tennessee. I've certainly seen God do it over and over and over again. But some of you, I think, are probably looking at your circumstances and feeling like, what if? How am I going to handle? I don't know what to do. Don't worry. God puts us in situations where we have to depend on Him. Over and over and over again, we see it in the Old and New Testament. God put His children in situations where He was their only hope. He was their defender. He was their provider, and He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you can depend on Him to meet your need. Are you facing a health problem? Are you facing a financial problem? Are you in the midst of a difficult relationship problem? Whatever it is, run to the Lord. Let your circumstances cause you to call out to Him and say, Lord, I can't do this myself. Please come and rescue me. And God will do whatever is needed. Now, He doesn't promise that it's going to be easy. He doesn't promise it's going to be pain-free. And He doesn't promise to do it on our timetable. But God will work out His plan for our good, and He never fails to keep His promise. I've seen in my own life, my son, who I mentioned a few moments ago, who was the one who brought up the judgments in the book of Revelation and the fact that suffering is not supposed to surprise us. My son is 41 years old. He's had over 40 surgeries. He's been through all kinds of trauma in his life. He lives with health problems every day and has throughout his life that would make most people just want to quit. I mean, it's like, I don't want to go on if I've got to deal with this. My son keeps going on. He keeps dealing with it. And you know what else? He does it with a good attitude. He's rejoicing. He gives thanks to God. When it was time to pray before the meal, I asked him to lead us in prayer. Because Paul doesn't mind giving thanks to God. Whatever's happening, he's learned to rejoice. When people ask how he's doing, he often responds, I am learning to be content, whatever state I'm in. That's the aim. That's the secret. That's the goal. So, the coronavirus provides an opportunity for us to share the gospel with people who may be much more keenly aware of their mortality right now. Some friends of ours in China are passing out face masks that are designed to offer some protection from the coronavirus, and they're having those face masks imprinted with the gospel because it's an opportunity to show the love of Jesus to their neighbors. That is the kind of response that we need to see more of here in our own country. When problems arise, we need to step up and say to those in need, here, don't be afraid, let me help. And then in that context, share the love and the good news of a God who didn't leave us stuck in our own sin, but came to save us. Not just to forgive us, but to change us, to deliver us. God will meet you right where you are, but he won't leave you there. He doesn't leave you in your broken condition. He'll meet you there. You don't have to fix yourself in order to be able to come to him. He'll come to you if you'll call out to him. He'll meet you at your point of need, but he will do more than meet you there. He'll change your life. He'll transform you from the inside out. Don't be afraid to call on him. Again, we read in Revelation just a few moments ago that as God's wrath was being poured out on the earth, people refused to repent. We're seeing that in many places today, but I'll tell you what else we're seeing. People all over the world coming to faith in Jesus Christ. There is a huge move of God's Spirit going on right now in some of the toughest places on earth, and people are coming to faith in Jesus. Don't you miss out. Don't let comfortable circumstances in your life or difficult circumstances in your life cause you to overlook the most important message you'll ever hear. God sent his Son to save sinners. You qualify. Reach out to him. Ask him to rescue you. And don't be afraid, because whatever you've been through, whatever you've done, whatever you may have been so ashamed to even admit to yourself, God is able to meet you right where you are and to change you. Be honest with him. My preacher, when I was growing up, used to say, God forgives sin, not excuses. Don't make excuses. Don't try and minimize and rationalize. Just confess your sins to God and ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you and to take control of your life, and he'll do it. And then, folks, I'd love to hear from you. I wish you'd reach out to us and let us know how this message impacted your life. Let us know that you prayed and asked Jesus to rescue you. You can't save yourself, but he stands ready to save. He is mighty to save, and he loves you. Let us hear from you. You can contact us on the internet, wvr.org. You can contact us toll-free by calling 866-41-ABIDE. You can write to us here at Wares Valley Ranch, 100 One Fine Place, Sevierville, Tennessee. You can even come for a visit if you're over in the Smokies. But we would love to hear what God is doing in your life and how you're learning to trust in him. God bless you. Don't be afraid. The Lord has good things in store for those who call upon him. Do not be afraid. He has promised, I am your salvation. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.